Greetings, the automatic deleted husband, and guess what? I got another postcard, this time from George. It's covered up, so what I wrote is, Chris turned 61 today, so we're going on a hike. In other words, a young guy and me. George, you're a young guy. Perhaps we should hike together. We should hike together also. Love, Dad. You know, because obviously it's rather covered up, so... but, you know, it was a good hike. It was short that day. That was the day we drove by Covenant Presbyterian, and I mentioned the building was empty, and it always is. Today's card went to Susanna, and I wrote, "My girl, what are you like now after 10 years of absence? What are your desires? Where is your heart, love, Dad?" Because, you know, my assumption is she's a high school graduate. And what's she doing? What? I have no idea. What is she like? That's my girl. You know, I have a picture of her eating some bread with jelly on it. And you know, because she was willing to be silly. And I enjoyed that about her. And I don't know what she's like. 10 years. It's difficult. But just a bit of good news. One of the issues I'm doing with Shofar Nexus is when I deliver the program, you know, a lot of people, we talk about being open source. Oh, so you can go to some place and get the source code. And see how it's put together and maybe even modify it and whatnot. The difference is, you know, I don't use the term open source. I use the term public domain. And when you get the program, it's not in there yet, but it's getting closer. You get the source code with it. So it's embedded. The source code is embedded in, because, you know, the documentation is embedded in the program. And, well, if I can embed the documentation, I might as well embed the source. So it's once it's out, it's out. But there was an issue on the technique I used. I used a quick and dirty technique years ago, and then I said, okay, that was quick and dirty. It was clumsy, but I was, you know, my priority in life was gas stations. And since that fell apart, I've been going back, and a whole lot of things that were pushed off have been taken care of. One of them is that the technique now has been radically modified, simplified, and the door is now open to put the source code in place, which I was pleased about. But a couple more serious things. You know, I did mention, I mentioned jokingly that I was in Denmark yesterday because, you know, the implication was that I was the one that... blew up the Nord Stream 1 and 2. And obviously, since a day has gone by, a lot more information has come out about that. And apparently there is strong evidence it was indeed blown up because there was a... I saw an interview with a seismologist somewhere in that area who was, it looks like, you know, because obviously he's familiar with what an explosion looks like. He says, yeah, that's an explosion right there. And because, you know, now we have the way of, we have all these microphones recording the sounds in the water all over the place. And you can say, you can triangulate, this is where it happened. And so, you know, give the ideas of magnitude and things of that nature, is obviously the same thing is done with earthquakes. But so they did that. And of course, so it does appear the evidence is pointing strongly. This is indeed unquestionably not just an accident. It was blown up. What I find fascinating is when you see different news reports, they're radically different. They're not just a little different. They're radically different. There's obviously the Russians did it. And, you know, so because they're trying to mess up Europe, they're being evil towards Europe. And the logic behind that is, I mean, you have to be gullible to buy that story. You know, because Russians have this valve where you turn it on, turn it off. And so they don't need to blow it up. And what would they gain? You know, it's the cui bono. You'll hear the expression, who benefits? So would the Russians benefit by blowing it up? You know, obviously it would be a PR disaster. So I don't think they would do it for that reason. All they have to do is turn it off, which the Europeans have done that for them. Because again, Nord Stream 2 was completed. Now it's been just over a year. It's been completed. It's under pressure in order to just simply turn the valve on and have it start flowing. And it's the German government that said no. It's not the Russians. It was the German government that says, no, we're not going to turn it on. They were pressured by the U.S. So why do you blame the Russians when you refuse to turn it on? That makes no sense. And then, of course, Nord Stream 1, there was the delay because there was doing the normal periodic maintenance. They had some equipment that was sent to some kind of turbine that was sent to Canada. And then because of sanctions, they refused to send it back. That came back. And then there were other issues. And other issues came up to the point it was operating partially, like 30%. And then eventually got shut down completely. I don't know all the details behind that. Some of it was technical reasons. Some of it was for political reasons. And apparently some of it was because we're not paying for your gas. there was a variety of things like that, but it's easy to just turn it right back on. But instead it was blown up. And what a lot of people are doing now is playing back a press conference from early February before the invasion of Russia or the special military operation, depending upon whose side you're on. Because again, remember, the war is 8 years old. Biden in an interview talked about, no, Nord Stream 2 will not be turned off. If tanks roll into Ukraine, Nord Stream 2 will not happen, or something of that nature. I forget his terms. He was asked, you know, how would you do that? And he something about, you know, we have our ways or whatever of that nature. So that's being played back a lot, because obviously who has the technology to go to a pipe, I think it's a couple hundred feet underwater, and blow it up with, you know, dynamite or whatever? Who has the technology to do that? It's not all that complicated. You know, someone with a reasonable budget could do that. The U.S. has a reasonable budget. They could easily do that. So it's a fascinating thing. One, how it was done. And then two, the politics behind it. And I think people look, what side are you on? That's the only side you're going to listen to. In the same way, I'm going to give you a couple links, because obviously the vote happened, and it is now the results are in on in Donbass, Zaporozhye, and the other place where Mariupol is, and so forth. So the Donbass is Donetsk and Lugansk are the two areas that separated off from Russia, because Ukraine was bombing them for the last 8 years. And they said, you know, this is uncomfortable. We want to leave this country that's bombing us. So they separated off, and because they're on the, you know, the east end apparently far more Russian. Zaporozhye and the other area, which is where Crimea connects, which, you know, they voted overwhelmingly to join Russia, which happened years ago too. So now that whole area, it was basically four separate regions have voted. The two in the Donbass was 98 point something and 99 point something. Yes. We're gone. We're going to Russia. We want to be part of Russia. The other two was well over 90%, and I think the one was like 87%. So it wasn't quite as overwhelming, but still, you know, that's a clear majority. But you know, it's the norm. If we don't like the results that we know we're going to get, we're going to say it's a fraud. If we like the results, we're going to say, oh, see, the people chose. That's the norm. And you see that over and over and over again. As I point out, you saw that in Syria. There was, I think it was like in Ireland or whatnot, where there was a vote relative to, I think, Brexit or whatnot. And they didn't like the outcome. So they literally voted again. Because, you know, it's the idea of we'll keep voting until we get the right answer. There's a lot of talk right now about Iran. Because in Iran, yeah, gotta be careful. It's not Iran, it's Iran. There is a little history here where they had an election and a leader was put in place. What's his name? We didn't like that because he, one of his objectives said, put me in and Mossadegh, put me in and we're going to nationalize the oil because we don't want foreigners simply taking our resources and we get piddly for it. So they voted him in, and then, it's documented, it's well admitted, the CIA went in and overthrew them on behalf of BP, the oil company. So we overthrew him, we installed the Shah, because we didn't like the outcome of the election. So, and now we look at Iran as bad, because the puppet government we put in, who was literally a dictator, the Shah, they overthrew in 78, 79, whatever it was. And it's called the Islamic Revolution. And well, you know, so when you add the word Islamic on there, well, then obviously it must be bad. But you see, it was the people there that said, we want to overthrow the dictator. So we don't respect the dictator that was overthrown in Iran. We don't respect the overthrow of the dictator in Iran, but we try to overthrow the democratically elected leader of Syria, and we call him a dictator. So, I mean, it's that this is the norm. We simply decide for others. And, you know, that's just the obvious examples. We do that over and over again. Central and South America, we've done it a bunch. We're not very credible. And now this vote has happened. So we have two issues. One, will we respect it? Absolutely not. I guess today, tomorrow, the Russian Duma, is going to meet and whatnot and decide, is this now part of Russia? And if that happens, I think that's part of the reason and of course, you hear, oh, they conscripted 300,000, people. They conscripted people who were already in the military and basically brought them back in. So they had a pool of like 24 million and they took like 1.5% of them to bring them in. So this is not what you'd call overwhelming. And what the news media does is they go and, the Western news media does, they go and find, because obviously they're going to be people who say, I don't want to do this. And they will, do the tight shots, the close-up. But you won't see the big parades and whatnot, people going off and with interviews saying, yes, we're going to do this to protect our homeland. You won't see those in the Western media. You'll see the protesters because you have a particular narrative to get across. It's not what is right or wrong. That's not the issue to argue here. It's I want my family to understand. Look at the way a narrative is being generated, whether we're talking about Iran, whether we're talking about the Ukraine vote and whatnot, or what's happening in Russia, whatnot. It's the narrative that's being presented, what happened with Nord Stream 2 and Nord Stream 1, both of them. It's the issue of the right or wrong of what happened is separate from the narrative that is being portrayed. And that's the thing that really concerns me, because obviously I'm an advocate. Don't vote, simply because, again, most notably the first family of eight, don't vote. So my feeling is, if I was part of that group in Ukraine, in Donbass, for example, with my understanding today, I would appreciate the idea that, no, I don't want to be part of Ukraine. I want to be part of Russia, but I'm not going to vote to do it. But that's a whole other issue. But obviously, this whole thing brings us to Ephesians 5, as you would expect. Because, as I was discussing yesterday, and again, I want my kids to be able to look at the scripture and not read in what they want, but see what the Lord is telling them. What the Lord says, not what we want to find in it. Oh, yeah. Just before I, an article came from Babylon Bee, seven easy ways to increase your church's star rating on Yelp. Number one, stop preaching the Bible. Who does it anymore? You instead stick to light comedy with a moral, or just swap your pastors for motivational speakers. Find a pastor who will engage you rationally, who will answer a question. Will Render Keynes or Chris Biederman? No. We don't want to do that. We've retired. Will the replacement fellows do that? No. Because you're not a member. We help destroy your family, but no, we have no involvement with you. I find there's a problem, because if indeed, as it says it is, God breathed, then these words are not just fluff suggestions. This is what the Lord is telling us. Ephesians 5, especially when you get to verse 22, ooh, the wives, subject yourselves to your own husbands as to, we can't go there. No, we can't go there. Simply can't go there. Because we trust in the state with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways we acknowledge it, and it'll keep a boot stamping on a human face forever. Proverbs 1984. I just had to repeat that again anyway. Because obviously that's what my wife did. But it's the beginning of it, because one of the issues of yesterday in that dialogue, I think it's very relevant, but I'll read from the LSV. Become then followers of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us. He gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor or of a refreshing fragrance. And whoredom and all uncleanliness and or covetousness do not let even be named among you, as is proper to holy ones. Also filthiness and foolish talking or jesting, the things not fit, but rather thanksgiving. For you know this, that every whoremonger or unclean or covetous person who is an idolater has no inheritance in the kingdom of the Christ and God. So five verses, one sentence. again, it's interesting the way the language, how so many of the modern translations shrink that. But anyway, You know, the covetousness thing is literally, I have a passion for what you have. I mean, literally, you can say it is a passion, a strong or overt passion for what you have. Yeah, check, verify my, and it's kind of like, no, we don't go there. I celebrate with you that you have a nice car, a nice house, and whatnot, and I don't. But I can celebrate with you. I could say that I would want something like that, but it's not that I want yours, or that what you have gives me a passion for the things of this world. So, you know, either direction is not a direction I need to pursue. You know, and there's so many things, but let no one deceive you in vain words. Because of these things comes the anger of God on the sons of disobedience. Do not become then partakers with them, for you were once in darkness, and now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is well-pleasing to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of the darkness, and rather even convict, for it is shameful even to speak of the things done by them in secret. And all things reproved by the light are revealed, for everything that is revealed is light. For this reason it says, arouse yourself, you who are sleeping, and arise out of the dead, and the Christ will shine on you. Again, that's the second sentence, we're in verse 14. But obviously I've used verse 11 because I've wondered about that for many, many years. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, works of the darkness, and rather even convict or expose them or rebuke and or confute. It's not ignore them. And that's, you know, but, you know, because, again, because it's one sentence, proving what is well-pleasing to the Lord. We want to know what is well-pleasing to the Lord. And when we see something that isn't, we want to make sure we're not part of that. You know, do not become partakers with them. Verse 7. If you go back into Proverbs 1 about the common purse idea, you are partakers. That I think is the same sentiment. And for you were once darkness and now light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. I would suggest that the Lord doesn't pull you out all at once. Sometimes there's the dramatic things. Sometimes it's the slowly, bit by bit. Because that's what I've seen in my life. You know, start by you know, fairly profound things. Again, the pro-life activists and whatnot, pursuing those kind of things. But I had the thirst for the things of this world. Covetousness. You know, I wanted the fancy car, I wanted the big house. You know, that was me. And as that, those things collapsed, there was a tension for a long time. And where I would do things, because again, the work I do, I can make a lot of money. And you know, I've demonstrated that. And I suggest maybe there are three levels. I can make a lot of money doing what I've done. For example, a lot of the contracting work I did, where, you know, six figures was not a problem. So I can do that, but I was a partaker with them. A lot of times I didn't see it clearly. I could have, because the opportunities presented themselves more than once. Where I could have been extremely, you know, bringing lots of money if I throw my ethics out the window. Those opportunities are easily there. That's easy. But then there's the other side. What do you do when you say, I want to do the right thing, but, you know, you have a family, and in the world, you want to, you haven't matured enough. What do you do? You make mistakes, which, yes, I surely did. But, you know, there's the maturing that happens, you know. I did look at verse 15. See then how exactly you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil and so forth. But anyway, not as unwise, but as wise, as I mentioned yesterday about the wise fool or the wise moron, the Sophos and the Moranos, whatever. But this is the wise, the Sophos, and the unwise, the Asophos, you know, the not wise, which I'm fascinated with the language. And so what's the difference between an unwise and a fool? That's would be interesting to dwell on maybe. But I really believe, and I'm desperately trying to work this out. When we have proving what is well pleasing to the Lord and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. A lot of places I worked, especially medical software or defense contractor, I would suggest I was having fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. I was looking at, I was making a good income for my family. But I was trying to do a good job because I was a follower of Christ. And there was a conflict there. And anytime I did, and it was clumsy, rather even convict or reprove or whatever, it was costly. And I'm struggling with this still. Because, you know, you go back to some of the events of the day. What it would be like, you know, I made the joke yesterday that I was in Denmark doing the, implying that I was the one that blew up Nord Stream 1 and 2. Obviously, that was satire. But somebody did. What would it be like? You know, because that probably was not an individual. That was some group. Group backed by someone with probably some deep pockets. Like a government. And so there were probably a number of people involved. What would it be like to be one of those people involved and say, you know what we just did? This is not a good thing. So, if it's just simply your conscience getting to you, or rather even convict, the Ephesians 5:11, it would seem that you have to be open about what happened. You have to be able to say, this is what happened, and this is wrong. I'm going to give you the evidence. What happened? Kind of like what happened that day. You know, somebody gave us the evidence. Now, I would suggest the person who gave us the evidence, Bradley Manning, did not do it out of obedience to Christ. But what if you do it, you want to do it, out of obedience to Christ, and it's something major like the bombing or this blowing up of Nord Stream 1 and 2? you happen to be the one who knows. You have the evidence in front of you. I mean, there's bunches of examples of this. You have the evidence in front of you. If you expose it and it's known that you're the one, on that playing field, you're toast. You're probably going to be dead. This happens a lot, actually. So maybe you have to find ways to expose them without exposing you. And the question now, is that consistent with Scripture? The technique, how to do that, come up with a name for it. Shofar Leaks. No, that would be a good name for it. It allows complete anonymity. I mean, literally, I would contend the reason, you know, one of the reasons why people run from me is because indeed it's not traceable. So the way you get traced is you do something stupid. So you put in as much as possible to say, you know, I'm going to close as many doors as I can so you don't do something stupid. You know, that's the point of the Shofar book, shutting off all communications. Different arena, but still. But if you're a person, especially if you're a follower of Christ, and again, using the example of, you know, let's say I worked in some sort of naval thing, maybe government related, maybe private industry related, maybe I work with a bunch of crooks, you know, because it was interesting. Was it a few weeks ago I saw where South America, whatnot, huge, you know, a good sized submarine was used to be to transport cocaine, you know, out of the country towards the U.S. And they got caught. But it's not because it was done once. I would suggest it was done many times and they got caught. You know, the idea of a navy, you know, maybe a single ship navy, but those kind of things that would be able to go underwater and do those kind of things. Yeah, there is the government entities that can do it, and there are the criminal entities that could do it. Well, but I repeat myself. Anyway, but it's often a group of people. And what if one person in that, either because they always, well, because they were for a long time, or because over time, Christ has got a hold of them, and they said, what I'm involved in is wrong. And they have to deal with, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of the darkness, and rather even convict. You know, obviously a lot of the context of this, you know, whoredom, uncleanness, covetousness, and so forth. You could make an argument that that's the only context. But covetousness, it would seem to me, that's what aggressive governments do, they covet. I want what you have. And so, if you're a part of them, it seems to me you know, as I've discussed, the person who says, I want to repent. You know, when I did my intro series, you know, the whole point of that intro series, you know, was talking about pain. First one, the pain, the cost. That if someone sees this and they say, okay, I'm part of MetaU Covenant Presbyterian, I'm part of my extended family, and they say, you know, if I reconcile with you, it's not going to go over well with the others that I'm involved in with. So that's why I opened the door, wanted to do it privately, tell no one. I won't let anybody know that we reconciled. So I need to open that door. But also, if that person says, I'm going to reconcile with you, be very public about it. I need to walk with them. If I find out my friend Bob down the street, and I don't know of a Bob down the street, but anyway, I'm a new found friend, Bob, down the street. And let's say he were to come to me and says, I was the diver that went under and planted the bomb. Or I operated a crane. Or I did some of the research for this. Or whatever. And I have some evidence. That person may die if that person's identified. Do I walk with him? Do I do what I can to allow him to expose, to refute, to convict without doing it himself? Not that I do it instead of him, but give him the tools to do it where he's not identified. Obviously, I've been working on this for over a decade. It'd be interesting, wouldn't it, if it suddenly got used for that very purpose. Because, you know, this is just an example, because obviously there's a whole bunch of other things that have happened or will happen that are in this realm. But then, so doing the technology, that's simple. Building the infrastructure is the funds and you know, someone else to promote it, not as, you know, that the objective of being the whistleblower, but the other objective to make money off of it in order to build the infrastructure. And this is just a corollary of it. So I haven't got either yet. But I'm going to continue to try. Because, well, I mentioned the interview with the one guy in the Donbass. The woman who did the interview is Eva Bartlett. You know, again, the woman who took that photo right there. There's a couple other interviews and the difference is, if you go to the website for today, there are links for two videos, and they're not. I give you the links for Odyssey and YouTube, but it's also directly there on the site. You can download the video directly from Kozlowska.org. I have my copy of them, and. One of them, Ukraine shelled another completely civilian area in central Donbass today, killing at least 5 civilians. That's the title of it. I watched that. And the image she used on YouTube and Odyssey is not the one I used. I used a different one. Because if you watch it, you get into it a bit, she gets kind of emotional from on. And she shows a video of a lady. You know, again, it's just like the woman I talk about that was standing next to Shireen Abdul-Akli when she was assassinated. You think about what's happening to that person. I've become a lot more emotional. And I watch this woman. And I really wonder what's going through her mind and her heart. Her hometown, maybe where she's lived all her life, just got shelled by her own government. And she sees people lying on the streets dead. Maybe some of those people she knows, maybe even family. Eva Bartlett does get interviewed by several people. In this case, I also give you an interview. The interview actually dropped in a clip from that video. But in this case, it's my interview from Donetsk on the people's eagerness to vote to join Russia. And this in this case, she was interviewed by RT. So you can say, biased. Listen to the words. You know, what happens is, again, you can go find people who say, no, I want to be part of Ukraine for whatever reason, especially because if I become part of Russia, they might find out what I've done. I mean, especially if you're in the Azov battalion, yeah, you don't want to be part of Russia. Because they will arrest you, imprison you, or execute you. Because and there's even an article about how the last few weeks or whatever, we had people from the Azov battalion meet people from Congress. You know, there's a lot of conversation about how the U.S. cooperated with Hitler and his regime pre-World War II. We're doing the same because, again, they're Nazis. But I recommend that interview. And you can say, okay, well, that was done on RT and so forth. She doesn't work for RT. But anyway. It's like the woman I mentioned. I'm getting long. The Ukrainian deputy prime minister, someone well placed. This can mean a prison sentence up to 5 years. So I strongly advise residents of the temporarily occupied territories do not take a Russian passport. Do not go to referendums. Do not cooperate with the occupiers. And then in the Donbass, 99% of the people who voted to join Russia. What's going to happen? Yeah, and again, the thing that's so fast, I'm getting so long. The thing that's so fascinating is I hear from a whole bunch of people in the West. Several news media outlets and of course some, you know, like obviously Al Jazeera or even some British stuff where they said about how Putin is threatening nuclear weapons in his speech. And I listened to the speech. No, he's not. He said if the West uses them, that's different. And what's done is you twist the language in order to make him look bad. The twisting of language is a problem. When somebody will take and twist, like 1 Timothy 5:8, as I've demonstrated Chris Bitterman has, or somebody will twist Matthew 19, as I've demonstrated Jim Cross has, because they have their collective around them, the collective will go with the twist rather than look at the evidence. And the evidence is right in front of them. It's called the scripture. It's called the Bible. No, we don't want to go there because you're not part of our team. And if we look at the Bible, we might find out that we're wrong. This is the reason I want to stand with the whistleblower. Again, I'm a repeat offender. Some people pay with, you know, jobs and torture and whatnot. Some people pay with their lives. I want to stand with them so they don't have to pay with their lives. Because I've read somewhere Let no one deceive you with vain words. Because of these things comes the anger of God on the sons of disobedience. Do not become then partakers with them. For you were once darkness, now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of the darkness, and rather even convict. For it is a shame to even speak of the things done by them in secret, and the things reproved by light are revealed. For everything that is revealed is light. For this reason it says, arouse yourself, you who are sleeping, arise out of the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is basically a quote from Isaiah. This is not fluffy stuff. I know what it is to pay a price. I have a wall full of it. And got another one today. A gentleman, Nathan, handed this to me today. It's here, John. Thank you, Nathan. We're on a first name basis. He's the postman. And he knows I get these. Because obviously he's seen a lot of them. Oh, some well over 50 of them. He commented today how he's seen me on the other side of town walking. Because I'm often on the other side of town walking. And I plan to tomorrow. See, people are willing to talk with me. Except if they're leadership in the institutional church, family or extended family. Because maybe they're partaking in the unfruitful works of darkness. Interesting question. Got long again. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore. I hope you see, if you were to ever to see this stuff, it may give you some insight why we went through some of the difficulties we went through. Because your husband was struggling to have the things of this world and be obedient to Christ. And as I've stated to Jim Cross directly, when the Lord says, you cannot serve God and wealth, he said you have to be pragmatic. And in reality, I was being pragmatic. I was wrong. And it cost me, cost our family. I don't have any desire to go back to the pragmatism. My objective is obedience to Christ. Join me in that, please. You were once in darkness. Now the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Please, my lady, walk as children of the light. My lady, I love you and I want you back.